And please listen to the reading of God's Word, John chapter 14 and verse 18. And here, written in God's Word, is this: I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. One more time. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Lord bless the reading of His sacred word. Man is made to be a social creature. We need to interact with others. We love to explore our surroundings. We are people who value our loved ones and friends. We are people who need company. And so therefore, when all this, you know, when the social aspect of our lives is taken away from us, we begin to feel lost and disturbed, especially when it is for a prolonged period of time. And that is why this COVID-19 plague is such a dangerous plague. Dangerous in the sense that it is very contagious and it can affect the health of the elderly and the children very badly. They can die from the complications that arise from this virus. But it can also be very deadly in the sense that it forces us to go into this circuit breaker period whereby we need to exercise safe and social distancing to the point that sometimes we can feel so alone. We are cooped up in our homes. Yes, for some of us, we are thankful that we can have our families around us. But even then, we lose much contact with other loved ones that we may have. And though this is mitigated in some sense by technology, yet there is nothing that can substitute the physical experiences that we can have with one another, isn't it? There is still nothing that can substitute meeting the person face to face in person. And so this period is very trying, especially to many of us. And because of this distancing that needs to be in place, we sometimes face difficulties also in ministering to one another. Those of us who are elderly, we miss the company of the younger ones, our children. Even before the circuit breakers, sometimes it may be difficult for them to visit us often, isn't it? Because they have their own lives. Your children need to work. They have their own families. And so, as and when they can come along the week, sometimes they can be even so busy that they can visit you maybe only once a month. Some of your children may even be overseas, and so you have to wait for them to fly down to visit you. But now, even if they may be near to you in the sense that, maybe in the same neighborhood, they have great difficulty coming to see you. In the past, maybe you see them every alternate day or once a week. Now, you don't get to see them unless they are passing to you some necessities. And so you begin to feel disconsolate. and some of our elderly, they do not know how to use technology, and some may not be so well-versed in using WhatsApp or Zoom. And sometimes young people take it for granted that, you know, everybody knows how to use Zoom. But no, when it comes to those of us who are more senior, learning something new can be very difficult because we are so used to the ways of the past. And now suddenly you ask me to learn something that is new, how to use? I'm stuck. And so they cannot get to interact with their loved ones and friends, and they feel so lonely at home. Those people that I treasure so much, I now cannot talk to them anymore. And those of us who are younger, right, maybe the adults, and your parents are still living, you are also facing the same thing. You love your parents, you like to see them, but right now, even though you know that they need your care, they need your presence, you cannot be there. And some of you may be very worried. Some of you have shared during prayer meeting or some of the difficulties now looking after your aged parents during this circuit breaker period. And you feel so alone without them in your life. What is going to happen to my parents? I miss their presence. And then how about the young children? Well, I believe also the same. Now is school holidays, but somehow the school holidays do not feel like school holidays for some of you, right? Well, judging by what you post on social media, it seems like these holidays are a little special to you right now. You find yourself doing things that you would never have dreamt doing during this period. Right, children? I'm sure you miss your friends very much. You would rather go out and play with them, but you can't. You feel so alone. Why am I stuck in this house and I cannot go out to the shopping center or to the park or to my friend's house? I have to stay right here facing the four walls of my flat or my house. I feel so alone in this world. But even outside of the circuit breaker, you know that you can never ever be with your loved ones all the time. Even in a normal day of work, if let's say one party is working, right, between husband and wife, well, you'll be away from the other person's presence for some time. And at the end of our lives, there comes one thing that all of us would have to confront, and that is called death. I'm not sure whether the couples have ever said to one another before, how I wish that we could die together at the same time. Have you ever said that to your spouse? Oh, I pray so hard that the Lord would take us home at the same time, so I would never need to be alone. Well, if the Lord is willing for that to happen, well, good for us. But the reality of life is that most of the time, the Lord will determine one person to go home to the Lord first. And then you will have to do without the presence of that loved one for some time. Being men, we can never be present with a party forever. And other men cannot be present with us also forever. Even though they love us, even though they care for us, even though they know that they are precious to us, the reality of this life is nobody can ever be with you all the time. And so there will be periods of time where you may feel alone. But if you look at the scriptures today, you will find that for those of us who are Christians, we can say with great assurance in our hearts that we are never alone. Yes, who are those who are never alone? Well, it will be the believers of Christ Jesus. Yes, others in the world, there will always come a period of time where they will feel alone. Like it or not, those times of loneliness, they will come. But for the Christian, he is never, ever alone. And this was the assurance that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave to all of us, and especially in the context of the Gospel of John, to his disciples who were with him during his earthly ministry. Now, what we have in John chapter 14 are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ during his Passover meal with them. And this would be the last meal that he would have with them before going to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And so some of the disciples, they may begin to feel lost. Lord, we want to be with you. This was what Simon Peter said in John chapter 13. Lord, we want to be with you. Where are you going? Right, he asked Jesus Christ, where are you going? Implying, well, where you go, we want to be there with you. Of which Jesus Christ had to tell him, look, where I am going, you cannot go. You will not follow me. But of course, one day, you will follow me in the same footsteps. But right now, no, I'm going to the cross to die. It's not meant for you at this time to go to the cross to die. Not meant for you at this time yet to leave the world. But it is the time for me now to go to the cross and to be the sacrifice of sins. Peter, of course, say, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for you. But Jesus Christ, of course, was adamant, no, it is me who will go. And he said also to the disciples, I must go, because if I do not go, where will there be a place for you in heaven? You realize that if Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for our sins, there is no salvation for us. If there's no salvation for us, it would mean that there will not be a place for us in the new heaven and the new earth. And so therefore Jesus says, I must go. And when I go to prepare a place for you. If not, there is no place for you. So I must go. But the disciples have been so used to the presence of Jesus Christ all these years, isn't it? He was the perfect friend. He was the perfect master. They are so used to his physical presence. When they were hungry, Jesus Christ would provide with food. When they were under attack, Jesus Christ would defend them. And they marveled at the teaching of Jesus, leaping up at his words, at the words of life. What a wonderful master they had. What a wonderful friend. What a wonderful brother. And now you are telling us that you will go, you are going. What are we going to do? Just like some of us, we may have some loved ones who we treasure, and we rejoice in the various experiences we have with them. You know, there have been people who help us, there have been people who play with us, there have been people who cry with us, there have been people who laugh with us. And now suddenly the time has come whereby they say, we are going. I am now on my dying bed, I am going to leave. How do you think you will feel? Especially if that person has been of such great impact and influence in your life. Surely, you will begin to feel very lost and lonely. And that is why Jesus Christ had to comfort them down here. To these disciples. To tell them, beyond any doubt, that no, those who are the disciples of Christ Jesus, they will never be alone. And here in verse 18, Jesus Christ tells them and also tells all of us, I will not leave you comfortless. And here the word comfortless is an interesting word. It's basically where we get the word for orphan. And I'm sure you all know what an orphan is, isn't it? An orphan is somebody who, at a very young age, is bereaved of his or her parents. And if you are orphan, especially when you are a young child, it is something that can be very, very disturbing to you, because you are at the age whereby you are very vulnerable, your age whereby you need this care and company in your life. You need somebody to guide you. You need somebody to provide for you. And who are those that will provide for a child? Surely the chief people who provide for the child will be what? The parents, isn't it? Is that not true, young children? So, although you are cooped up at home, and then sometimes you may say, oh, hey, how I wish I had my life to be more exciting. Why always with daddy and mommy? Well, but at least you have daddy and mommy with you. Who is the one who cook for you all your meals, dear children? Who is the one who put the food on the table delivered by GrabFood or FoodPanda? I saw some of you very happy with the food that arrived through the door, right? I can't remember which restaurants you ordered from, but some of you young children, you are so happy, and then you all take pictures of this food. Where did it come from? You mean somebody out there suddenly decided to deliver the food, and then ding dong, it comes true? No, right? Your parents ordered. And even if you say, oh, I ordered, where do you get the money from to order? It did not just come from the sky. Right? The Lord provided your parents with the necessary money, and then your parents used that money to order the food, right, that now is present on the table. And I hope you are thankful for that food. If your parents were not around, no FoodPanda or GrabFood for you, young children. And then when you need somebody to bring you to school, well, your parents will be there. When you need some form of guidance and instruction, your parents will be there. When you need somebody to comfort you when you're sad, your parents will be there. When you need somebody to celebrate your birthdays with you, to rejoice with you, your parents are there. Just imagine the life, therefore, of an orphan whereby they do not have their parents. It will be so sad for them, and they will really suffer from this lack of company, lack of provision, lack of advice and guidance, lack of protection. And that is why orphans are regarded as one of the lowest in society, because they really lack all these things. They are really poor. But here, God says, I will not leave you to be an orphan. And why is he able to say all these things? Why are Christians never alone? So we know who are those who are never alone. Who are those that are never alone? Well, Christians, they are never alone. But why are Christians never alone? Well, here, right, God's word gives us the reason. And if you look at the preceding verses before that, you will realize that Jesus Christ told the disciples, yes, though right now I may no longer be able to be physically present with you, yet you shall be comforted, because I will send you another comforter. And of course, this other comforter is none other than the Holy Spirit. And you know that this Holy Spirit indwells every one of those who are born again. Once you believe in Christ Jesus and are truly a child of God, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will dwell with you and shall be in you. And the word to dwell, right, talks about how the Holy Spirit will really be in residence with you. No, it's not just near you. For example, your neighbors are near you. Some of you may have friends living also in the neighborhood. They are near you. But your friends, they are not in residence with you. Compared to who? Children. If you talk about the young children, compared to who? Compared to what? Your parents, right? Your parents are in residence with you. They are staying in that same unit. That is the big difference. Right? This circuit breaker, some of us, well, we face some problems because some of our loved ones, they may be near us, but they are not in residence with us. Even in the same new town, one may be in the east and the other in the west, so near and yet so far. Yes? Compared with, well, the loved ones who are in residence with us, we have their company. So the Holy Spirit here is like this, right? The Holy Spirit is in residence with us, dwelling within us. All the time. All the time. And so therefore we are never alone. And it is also interesting to note that when the Bible describes the Holy Spirit, it describes the Holy Spirit as another comforter, right? Another comforter. And these two words are very significant. Firstly, right, the word another. The word another is basically another of the same kind. Right? In the Greek, you can have two different words for another. One word is another of a different kind. And so, when you look at the book of Galatians, you see this two words being applied there, right? Another of a different kind, and the other one is what? Another of the same kind. So in the book of Galatians, there were Judaizers who were attacking the Galatian church, and they were promoting another gospel. And for that gospel, Paul says, well, this gospel is of another, it is not the same, it is another of a different kind. And that's the word that is used down there. But down here, for the Gospel of John, the word another here is another of the same kind. In other words, the Holy Spirit that indwells within us is God, just like how Jesus Christ is God. That is very, very important. Talk about the Trinity. One God, yet three persons. Three persons, yet one God. The Father is God. The only begotten Son, He is God. The Holy Spirit, He is also God. And this Holy Spirit now indwells within us. God with us. Always. Always. And the fact is, this person that indwells within us is God, is also very important. You know, you can have somebody residing within you, but if the person who is residing within you is a rascal, then your life is literally living hell, right? And that's why sometimes questions are posted to some people in the media. Oh, who is the person that you would like to live with? You know, let's say if we give you a chance, right, to live with one of your friends, who is the one that you want to live with? And why do you think people will ask these questions? Well, it's because they know that, yes, while some people can be friends, And we can be friends when we are not living with one another. But once the person lives together with me, it's a very different matter altogether. You just imagine if the person lives with you and turn your house upside down and disturbs all your routines, and the person is the dullest person in the world, do you think you can live your life in lockdown with that person? I don't think so. You'll probably wish that, oh, I'd rather be alone. That person quickly go far away. I don't want that person with me. Well, down here though, when this person dwells with us, this person is what? The perfect person. God Himself. What better company can we have than the perfect God? And who is God? Well, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And God is now dwelling in us and with us. And always with us. And if that is the case, then what it means is that in every different circumstances of life, we are not only never alone, but we have every resource to cope with that particular situation. We have the omnipotent God in us. We have the omnipresent God in us. We have the omniscient God in us. He is not blind to the situation. He knows exactly what you're going through. And importantly, He can also help you in that situation, because He is the all-powerful God. That is the Holy Spirit, who is another of the same kind of comforter as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God Himself. And so that is why this title, Never Alone, is such a comforting title. Because if we are never alone with somebody who is absolutely bad for us, then this is no comfort at all. But we are never alone with somebody who is perfectly good and is also able to help us at every single time. And that's why never alone is so comforting. He is also the one who has saved us from our sins. He is also the one who will help to keep our faith. That's why it's so wonderful. And the Bible here describes that as being our comforter. And here the word comforter, right, is the word parakletos. Right, parakletos. Para means to go beside, alongside, right, parallel, alongside. And so this is somebody who goes alongside us, always encouraging us, admonishing us, assuring us, guiding us, providing for us, protecting us. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit is. The Bible here tells us that this Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. So wonderful, isn't it? The rest of the world, they do not have Him. But you as a Christian, you have Him with you. And He is the Spirit of truth. Meaning, if there's anybody who can lead us to understand how exactly we are to live in our lives, to help us to discern what is evil and good, what is truth and false, it would be this person that is indwelling within us, the Holy Spirit. And He can guide us. And the Bible tells us not only that, but He can empower us to a life of faithful service before the Lord, bearing good fruit to the praise and glory of our Lord. He is our perfect guide, and He is also our perfect source of strength. And not only just that, but the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is also the one who seals us. And what do we mean by sealing? Well, in those days when you seal something, it serves two purposes. Number one, it protects and guards the thing that is inside. And number two, the seal will also pronounce that particular thing is authentic. Like, just like some of your certificates have a seal, like those of you who graduated from National University of Singapore, you will notice that there is a seal of NUS, right, down there on that certificate to say that, oh, this is authentic. This person really and truly graduated from National University of Singapore, and we have found and that person to be passing our standards, our academic standards. So if therefore you want to employ a particular person, well, we have accredited, right, that person. He or she is authentic. And so when it applies for the Christians, right, it is also the Holy Spirit who bear witness to us that we are truly the Son of God. Right? We are truly the sons of God, right? Adopted sons of God, children of God. Truly belong to that heavenly family, genuinely saved. And this is something that we also need this assurance in life. Because as we go through all these troubles, as we struggle with our own sins, you know, as we face with many sorrows and temptations, sometimes it is so easy to doubt even our salvation, isn't it? And that is where we can begin to feel alone. Then the Holy Spirit, through God's word, teaching us, guiding us, and also reminding us of the precious promises in His word, and also bearing testimony to your own soul, will remind you and will assure you, yes, you are truly part of that heavenly family. And you know that many of these saints of old, right, have actually undergone the same things. You have, for example, William Cooper, who wrote the hymn, right, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. And many other good hymns also, right, in the scriptures. Sorry, in our hymnal. Well, we sing of those hymns and we think, wow, what wonderful theology and doctrines we can find in these songs. But do you know that he was also somebody who was often plagued with great sense of doubt of his own salvation? And not just that, but also, right, he sometimes felt so alone in this world. And yet, the Lord would assure this person, right, from the Holy Scripture of His abiding presence. And he will overcome all these things and he will find great joy. And that causes him to write all these wonderful hymns that rejoice in the amazing grace that he had received from God. And then you also have Spurgeon. Yes, sometimes people think that pastors don't suffer from doubts or even of their own salvation, but, well, Spurgeon himself confessed that there were times whereby he really felt so down and depressed. And if you read the life of Spurgeon, you will realize that there were times where he suffered great aches and pains in the body, and there were times whereby certain events have happened that caused him to be so distressed where he even doubted his own salvation. But then the Holy Spirit will always be there, his comforter, leading him to portions of scripture, the promises of God, assuring him of the faithfulness of the things that he has read, and thereby he found his encouragement in the truth, and he was strengthened, and he continued to serve. And the wonderful fruits of this person's ministry for the Lord can be seen even today. Right? We read of his sermons, and we are so encouraged by the instruction that we receive in God's word, right, true, right, this servant of God. And this same Holy Spirit that helped Spurgeon, that was with him, is also always with us. And the Bible also tells us, right, and if you read the Romans chapter 8, you realize that the Bible also tells us that this Holy Spirit is also one who intercedes for us. Yes, not only Jesus Christ seated at the right hand interceding for us, but Romans chapter 8, right, tells us that the Holy Spirit is also praying for us. Now, maybe it's good that we read that particular portion of scripture. Now, you turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And you look at verses 26 to 27, just before our responsive reading today. And here, God's word says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Right? See that? Right? The Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us. Even during those times where we do not know what to pray, the Spirit knows exactly what to pray for us. And he will always pray according to the mind of God. Because he is God himself. He knows exactly what to pray. And this intercessor, he dwells with us. So therefore, how can Christians say that they are alone? They are never alone. Yes, there may be times where we are without our loved ones. Yes, there may be times where we may be without our friends. Just like during this circuit breaker, we may be cooped up at home. We may not be able to interact with our surroundings as freely as before. But are we alone? No, we are never alone. And so therefore, in the past whereby there were saints that were jailed because of the faith, they were persecuted and they were cooped up in their cells, they can still find joy, they can still find peace in the cell in which they were dwelling. Though they were cut off from the world, though they were cut off from family and friends, and some of their family and friends, they may not even be around, even if they were released from the cell. Yet, there is this peace in them. And they are sober, they are happy, because Christ is dwelling with them through what? Through His Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible here says, I will not leave you comfortless. Wow, that is a promise to us. Never will it happen. Never will you be an orphan. And not only just that, but here the Bible says, I will come to you. Now, how did the Lord Jesus Christ go to the disciples after his crucifixion? Now, of course, after he was crucified, there were times where he manifested himself physically, right, before the disciples. But following 40 days, right, after his resurrection, right, he ascended into heaven. But he still came to his disciples through what? Right, through the Holy Spirit, which we can read off in the book of Acts, empowering his disciples to do that which is right in the sight of God. Right? Establishing many of the local churches, right, throughout Asia and then the rest of the world. Asia, Europe, of course Jerusalem being the first church. After that, churches continue to be formed, right, internationally, globally. And that is true also with us, right? The Lord Jesus Christ will come to us through what? Through His Spirit. But not only that, but this verse also looks forward to the time whereby Jesus Christ will come back to this earth, right? To Christ's second coming. And what will happen at Christ's second coming? Well, all of us will arise together with Christ, and this time round we will be given a glorified body, following which will be a time together with Christ forever and ever. Right? First the millennium, after that, right, the new heaven and the new earth. Jesus Christ is surely, certainly coming again. And so the question then is, how long are we never alone? The question is, the answer is, forever. That's why it's never alone. In fact, the word never, if you say that, you are never alone for 1 year. The word never loses is what? Loses its significance. Then you can only use you are not alone. You are not alone for 1 year. We can only say you are never alone if it is forever. And that is the key down here. Right? You are never alone. How long are we never alone? Well, the only answer to that question must be forever. And here, Christ makes it very certain to the disciples, yes, you are never alone. Not only because during this period of time, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. Yes, you may not have me physically dwelling with you, but the Holy Spirit will perform that function which I have always performed while I was with you upon the earth physically. And so, in that sense, I will come to you. But not only just that, but I will also come back again, right, to this earth one day. And that is why, when you talk about the current plague that we have, why is the current plague good? We have talked about many such things over the recent weeks, right, through the sermons, and through the various Bible lessons in which you go through. But one way in which it is good also is this. Right, it serves as a reminder that, yes, Jesus Christ is coming again. And that should be to the assurance and comfort of every Christian, isn't it? Not only is Christ surely coming again, but this signs point to what? His imminent coming very, very soon. Very, very soon. It shows us that whatsoever Christ said in his word is true. Every single sign points to the life that we are soon going to have with him one day, eternally, in the new heaven and new earth. And that is why we can say that Christians are never alone. Even if we do lose our life here upon this earth, we know but that it is but commencement. And if the Lord finds it pleasing to take one of our loved ones who have believed in Christ from this earth at this point of time, yet we can be so assured in our hearts that this is not the end, because we know that one day when we ourselves have ended our journey upon the earth, we will see our loved ones again. Is that not true? And all of us will get to dwell in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when we look at the book of Revelation, we see that there is no longer a light that is needed for the new Jerusalem. And why is that the case? Because the glory of the Lamb himself is the light of that place. And we are dwelling in that light. We are dwelling in his presence. We are never alone, even in eternity. Forever praising with the Lord, forever dwelling in his presence. And so how can a Christian therefore say, I am alone? He is never alone. He can never be lonely. The only reason why we are lonely is this. It is because instead of turning to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, instead of turning to the Holy Spirit who indwells within us, we choose to look at ourselves, we choose to wallow in self-pity, we choose to refuse the various promises that are found in God's word, and that's how we end up feeling alone. But if we continue to read the scriptures, we continue to cling on to the truth, we continue to focus our eyes on heaven, we continue to focus our eyes on Christ Jesus himself, we continue to pray to him, we continue to walk in the Spirit, then there is no way a Christian can say that he is alone, because God is with us. God is dwelling in us, and he will do so forever. And so, in summary, is who are those who are never alone? The Christians are the ones who are never alone. Why are they never alone? Because having been born again by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit now indwells within them. And the Holy Spirit is God, who will guide us, who will seal us, who will intercede for us, who will provide for us, who will guard us from every temptation, who will be our comforter all along throughout our life's journey. And not only throughout our life's journey, because the Bible tells us that we are never alone, forever. How long are we never alone? Forever, we are never alone. Christ one day shall come to earth, and then we shall rise again from the dead with a glorified body. And the Bible tells us we will dwell forever with Christ in his presence, together with all those who have believed in him. And so therefore, draw discomfort during this time of the COVID-19 plague. The Heidelberg Catechism has one very beautiful statement that we would like to close with during this time. And it is the answer to this question. In fact, it's their first question in the catechism. And the first question is, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? The Bible here says, that I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil. and so preserves me, that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must work together for my salvation. And for our learning today, wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life, and makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Who is never alone? The Christian. Why is he never alone? Because the Holy Spirit indwells within him. How long is he never alone? Forever. May this serve to be our encouragement all throughout the days of our life. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we thank thee, O Lord, for the comfort that we can have from the Holy Scriptures. How wonderful it is to learn that thou wilt never leave us to be orphans. You will always be with those who are thy children. And so we rest in thy care. We cast all our burdens upon thee. May thou, O Lord, find it pleasing to lead and guide us and provide for us each step of the way in our lives. This is a humble cry in Jesus' most blessed name. Amen.